In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Real holiness is wonderfully attractive. It doesn't need to promote itself. It doesn't need to sell itself. It doesn't need to market itself. It's wonderfully attractive. And that's what we've seen this last week as we've been reflecting on the life of Pope Francis, the world's pastor in one sense. People have been drawn from all over the world to come to Rome yesterday. The leaders of the world, the population of Rome, people watching on TV and through various means of media, what they've seen is true holiness. And you know, the world finds it wonderfully attractive. It has an appeal. It draws. It doesn't need to push or promote. It doesn't need to sell. There's a power in simplicity, in humility. There's an overwhelming power in mercy, which is what we've seen. And so for us today, on this second Sunday of Easter, a thought and a challenge. It's my job as pastor here to challenge you. How attractive is your life, so that through your life, through your humility, your forgiveness, your holiness, people are drawn to Jesus. That's what we saw in Francis. You see, real Christianity, when people encounter it, people want it. And that's why today I can stand here and say I really do believe the truth of the resurrection represented by our resurrection paschal candle. And as we break bread together and we read the script together, I trust this. I believe it's true. And what we saw yesterday with that funeral is a resonance of that, that people know that here is something that can be trusted in the indifferent media challenge, over anxious, complex world that we live. There is something still that we know can be trusted, and it speaks of truth and life and freedom, of goodness, of purpose, of love, of forgiveness, of welcome, of warmth, of character. This is the gospel that we've known. We saw it in Francis's life. It can be trusted today. So I'm glad that you've come here, because this is a place where we celebrate these things. The world has given up on it, and yet suddenly it encounters it and it's drawn back to it. That's what we've seen. So people, I would ask you again to commit yourselves to things like mercy. I would ask you to commit yourselves again to kindness. I would ask you again, because of the resurrected Jesus, to commit yourself again to the truth of this story, which is life-giving. I would ask you to commit yourself to a servant heart and humility and a character that is ennobled by the power of the Spirit, because the world wants this desperately. And when it sees it, it runs after it. It's ennobled. So in the hour that we've gathered here, this is not just a sort of another service. This is a place where we can encounter the power and life of the risen God. And I think for this, for myself particularly, I think of my family and the children I've got. And I think to myself, in bringing them up, in the life that Barbara and I have had for them, in what way have they found the power of Christ attractive because of us and because of me? And now my grandchildren. And your encounters with me on a daily basis and in our connection, I deeply search my own heart and I think, well, in what way do people of St. Andrews and the parish here and the schools that we go to and by hospital visit, in what way are they enabled and empowered and attractive to the Jesus message in me? Because that should be our story. And we know when it happens because the church multiplies and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows because it's attractive. It's there. It's a multiplication principle. It spreads. So do some heart searching for yourself, at home with your family, those that you connect with on a daily basis. In what way do you resonate the life of power of God in you? It doesn't need to promote. It attracts. In one sense, the cross of Jesus is the greatest magnet on earth. It just draws people to him. It's like a magnet. When it does, the story tells us, it unlocks fear. They were behind closed doors because of the Jews. The doors were locked. They were in a dangerous place. Because of their association with Jesus, there was a very good chance they could be captured and killed. But this new life that they began to encounter begins to dispel the fear. You know, most of us today come to church and we're just overwhelmed by various fears. And it just binds and holds us. And we don't live liberated lives because we haven't encountered the real power of this attractive story. And we just live constantly in fear. I can tell you, if I walked out this onto the street today and I knocked on the various doors of our parish, virtually every single one of them would be locked. And people were often very reluctant to open the door. I've done it. But I've been there. They live in fear. It's everywhere. But the risen Christ comes and he unlocks the fear. Breaks into it. So where is those places today that you've shut down in your own life? That you really actually are just held by fear in some way? He comes to break its power. He speaks forgiveness to them. And he says, in the same way that I give you mercy, you give mercy too. Forgive and forgive and forgive. So listen, if you're here today and you still, maybe for one reason, are living in fear, and two, you just live in constant unforgiveness with people and you're just harboring things that you've just not been able to let go of, resentment, past hurt, bad relationships, gossip about somebody, just not able to get on with somebody or some aspect or some person in your family, things that you've just held on to, break its power, get rid of it and let God forgive you and forgive them. That's what Jesus does. He's called us to forgiveness, to release. And when we receive that, we receive his peace. He says three times in this story, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. Peace means wholeness, complete wholeness. Do you long to be whole and complete? Do you long to be mature and together, sorted? Or just you want to live for the rest of your life with your constant struggle. He calls you to wholeness and deliverance and freedom. That's what he calls you to. It's called peace. So you can sleep at night. You don't have to worry about the relationships you've got with other people. You don't worry about the future and what's next for you. Maybe death itself. But all of us, we can live in peace. It comes through his empowering spirit. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So the reason that this story in Acts is transformed and suddenly Peter stands up with boldness in the other story that we heard from our reading today, the reason that they were suddenly empowered and invigorated in life, they suddenly became whole and they received the Spirit and it transformed them. So I pray for you today that you will receive the Spirit again and trust this stuff. And by the way, I love Thomas because he's full of doubt. And I want to remind you that if you ask questions and you seek understanding, the chances are that your understanding of the Christian faith and your maturity and growth will be greater because you've sought through it and you've questioned it and your faith is living because you've lived the questions. So we embrace the questions. We embrace the uncertainty. We live with the struggle of not knowing. Our faith is one that seeks to be understood. It's a journey of faith. So we live with a doubt because it keeps us alive to the reality. And I can tell you the times in my life when I've been, in one sense, closest to God are the times when I've also had the biggest questions because I've had to choose to believe. And it hasn't just been a reflex. I've chosen to believe. At the end of the story, we get this great acclamation of Thomas from the doubt to the belief in my Lord and my God. So perhaps ultimately the great sign of what is attractive in the Christian faith is when we just can stand and we can worship him. And we become alive to his presence. To finish today, how attractive is your wholeness? In what way are you a mirror of the God that we serve? And how does that affect your children, your family, your relationships, and the people that you encounter on a daily basis? You're going out and coming in. Can we be back like Francis, life-giving, full of mercy? Humility, simplicity, something wonderfully attractive in these things that comes from the risen Lord himself. Amen.